B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 12 lines from the bottom of Lamed Dalet Omed Beis. Says the Mishnah, and we've now learnt, we finished the previous Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol, what he did, the first thing he did, the Korban Tomid, and everything that went with that. And he did those with the gold clothes, as we've discussed a number of times already. The first thing the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur in the morning was the Korban Tomid with the, we call it the Big Days Of, because it was eight clothes, of which four of them held gold. And now we're moving on to the next stage, and we know that after wearing the gold clothes, he would switch over and wear the linen clothes, the white clothes, only for the Big Day Lovon, the white clothes. This actually happened twice over Yom Kippur. As we've said previously, there was gold clothes, white clothes, gold clothes, white clothes, gold clothes. The first time that he put on the white clothes is when he did the Avodah for the Tzibur, which was the Kapora and everything else we're going to learn about that he did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then we discussed in a previous daf that the Kohen Gadol went back in a second time to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he specially put on the Big Day Lovon a second time for that reason. And that was, it was called Avodah, but it wasn't the needs of the Tzibur. It's an Avodah Tzibur, because everything about Yom Kippur is largely to do with the Tzibur. But he went in, it was a chiyuv on the Kohen Gadol to remove the spoon and the spade, the shovel that he with which he took the coals into the Kodesh Kodashim, and the spoon where he had the Ketores, that he had to go and take those back out from the Kodesh HaKodashim. And that he did at a considerably later stage in the day, and the Mishnah is actually going to call it Bein Ho'arbaim, which is afternoon time. The first time he put on the white clothes is morning time, is B'Shachar. The second time he put on the white clothes was afternoon time. Says the Mishnah, when he finished doing the Avodah with the gold clothes, with the Big Days Of, the Korban Tomid, and we're now ready to move on to the next stage. They would bring the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaParva, and we've already learned that on top of the Beis HaParva, there was a mikveh, it was Bekoidesh, unlike the mikveh that he went in the first time when he switched from his Big Day Choyl to the Big Day Zohov. That was a mikveh that was in the Choyl. It was on top of the Shar HaMaim, but here it was in the Beis HaParva, which was B'Kodesh. U'B'Kodesh Hoysom. And this mikveh, in contrast to the previous one, this mikveh, as with the next four tvilois, that means this, together with another three, the first of the five tvilois was in the Choyl, the other four were in Kodesh. Parosu Sadin Shel Butz Beinoi Levein Ha'om, as they did the first time, they spread out a sheet of white, of butz, between the Kohen Gadol who was going to the mikveh and the people. It was more tanua that way. And what was the sequence? Kiddush Yodov, he first did Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, Yodov V'Raglov, and then Uposhat, he removed the gold clothes. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama. We've learned about this extensively previously. Rav Meir said no, that first Poshat, he first removed the gold clothes, and then he did Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. And then both the Tanakhama and Rav Meir agree at this point, Yorad V'Tovel, he went down to Tovel, Olov and Nistapik, he came up from the mikveh, dried himself, Hiviu Lo Big Day Lovon, they brought him the Big Day Lovon, but the Big Day Lovon of the morning. The first time he was going to wear a different set of white clothes in the afternoon, but in the morning, the first time he had Big Day Lovon, the first time, Lovash, he put them on, V'Kiddush Yodav V'Raglov, and then he did Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. And as we've seen previously, everybody agrees that the Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim was done after the Levisha. Everybody means Reb Meir and the Rabbonon. We had an opinion of Rebbe that was a discussion, but Reb Meir and the Chachomim here both agree that even though regarding the Pshita, the removing of the clothes, there was a machlokes whether he did the Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim before removing the clothes or after, but regarding the Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim when putting on the new clothes, it was done after he was wearing the new clothes. Bashachar, the Big Day Lovon that he would wear in the morning, the first time he would need to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hoyaloivish Pilusim, he would wear the Big Day Lovon that were made in a place of Pilusin. They were very expensive, those clothes. Shel Shneim Osor Mone, they cost 12 mona. Beinu Arbaim, but the white clothes that he would wear the second time he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, later on in the afternoon, Handovion. There was a different place, and those clothes were less valuable. As we said, that the second time he was not really doing an avodah that was serving the public, and therefore the clothes could be of lesser value, and they were only 800 zuz, which is only 8 mona, in contrast to the 12 mona of the value of the clothes he put on earlier on. Divi Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. The Chachomim say, Bashachar ha-yeloivish al-shmoina asamona, the value of the clothes, of the big day love on the first time he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was 18 mona, ubeinu arbaim shoshnei mosar mona, and the ones of the Beinu Arbaim, they were 12 mona. Hakel, the total of both of all of them together is Hakel Shloshim mona, that the 18 of the morning and 12 of the afternoon totaled 30. Elu Mishel Tzibur, that's what the Tzibur, what the public, they would pay for it, and the money was taken from the money of the Tzibur. But if the Kohen Gadol wants to have even more expensive clothes, Moisif Mishaloi, he can add on from his own money, on his own accord. He's going to obviously have to give it to the Tzibur, because the Big Day Kohen have to belong to the Tzibur. But the money has to come out of his pocket. He gives it entirely with a good heart to the Tzibur, and then he can invest as much as he wants in those clothes. Says the Gemara, my parvo. We know this mikveh was on the roof, was it? On the base parvo. What is this base? What is this parvo? And we have to realize that on Daf Yotes we already saw that the Gemara there on Daf Yotes quoted a Mishnah in Maseches Midois that what happened in the base parvo was that is where they would Shesham hayu milchin oyrois, it was a lishka, lishkas haparvo, shesham hayu milchin oyrois kochim. That is where they would salt the hides, the skins of the korbonis. And we would have thought that parvo is a term for skins, and it was the name of the chamber was called based on what was happening there, as with all the other chambers that we saw in the list on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara seems to be saying something else. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Parvo Amgusha. There was this type of magician who, his name was Parvo. And Rashi says he was the one that built this space of Parvo. And the Gemara here is totally ignoring what we saw in the Mishnah in Midos, which the Gemara on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph mentioned. So it could be, and some Farshim understand, that over there on Daf Yotes, that wasn't the name, it's what they did in this Beis HaParvo. But that's not why it was called Beis HaParvo. Why was it called Beis HaParvo? Rav Yosef says it's because of the person who built it. The Rush in Maseches Midos actually addresses this issue, and he says that the Beis HaParvo itself was, as we saw in the Mishnah in Ovis, that's where they would salt, the Mishnah in Midos, and that's where they would salt the hides, and here we're talking about the top of the Beis HaParvo, where the mikveh was. So there Rav Yosef says that the mikveh was also called called Parvo, because the person that built it was this magician called Parvo. And the Mefarshim discuss, was it really made with magic? Did it just look like magic? There's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim here. Continues the Gemara. Parosu Sadin Shel Butz, and we saw this already on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, over there regarding the first time he went into mikveh, but this is the source of it. The Gemara there quotes what it says here. Why did they maishno shel butz? Why was it so important that the sheet that they would hold up between the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh and the people, that it would be made of linen? Omer Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, k'dei sheyakiru shavoidas hayoim b'bigdei vutz, in order that he should remember that the day's avoida, what's unique about Yom Kippur is the fact that the Kohen Gadol, even though he normally wears the big days of, on Yom Kippur he wears the big day lovon. Continues the Gemara back to the Mishnah, Bashachar ha-yuloivish pelusin shel shmoina osor v'chulu. And the Gemara here is referring to the Machlokes we saw, the Tanakama, the Reb Meir says that the first set of white clothes would be 12 mona, and the second set would be 8 mona, and the Chachomim say that the first set was 18 mona, and the second set was 12 mono. And then the Gemara summarized that according to the Chachomim, the total is 30 mono, which he could take from the coffers of the Tzibur. Asks the Gemara of Atanya Minyon also Leishminon. You said 12 mono and 18 mono, and why do you have to add on Hakol Shloshim Mono. You're adding up 18 and 12 and telling us it's 30. What's the point in doing that? Says the Gemara Hokam Ashmalon. What the Mishnah was trying to impress on us was the Botzir Mehani Loi Navid. Try and make sure that the value of the clothes together, the two sets of Big Day Lovon, should value 30 mono. Ho I Botzir Mehani or Tfeya Hani, less lon bo. If you spend a little bit less on one set of clothes and a little bit more on another set of clothes, it's okay. Up to 30 mono is the total that you can take from the Tzibur and invest in the Big Day Lovon for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. De kule alma mios de shachar adifi. Another Gemara says, but either way, according to the Reb Meir and according to the Chachomim, the white clothes he wore in the morning were of more value than those he wore later on in the afternoon when he went in just to remove the spoon and the shovel. Minolon. What would be the source for that? That the Big Day Lovon that he did the main avoida with should have more value than the Big Day Lovon that he was going to put on just to remove the kaf and the machta. Omer funa b'reid Rabbi Loi, omer kro. Because if you look in the pasuk that speaks about the first time that the Kohen Gadol put on the white clothes, and this is our famous pasuk dalad, if you remember from the previous sugya, there it says four times the word bud, ksoines bud. Kodesh Yilbosh, Umichnes Evad Yel Basori, Vavnet Bad Yachkir, Uv Mitznefes Vad Yitznoif, four times the word bad, 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 Muvchor Bad, in order to impress on us that it should be the choicest and the most valuable bad, the white clothes, as possible. And that's talking about the first set of white clothes he put on, the ones he would put on in the morning. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. There's a posuk in Yecheskel, and from the psukim which seem to be talking about Yom Kippur, it says V'hoya b'voyim el shari achotzer apnimis v'lo yale aleim tzemer. We're talking about the white clothes where there was no wool in them. The other Big Day Lovon had tcheles, which was wool, etc. And then it says that later on in the posuk b'tzeisom el achotzer achitzoino el achotzer achitzoino el om yivshut to his big dayim. They would remove one set of clothes. And then it says a little bit later, v'lovshu begodim acherim. And they would put on other clothes. What does it mean, v'lovshu begodim acherim? And then the pasuk carries on, v'lo yikaltru es on bevigdem, but that's a different, that's a different issue. So my love, so when the pasuk says that they yivshu to es bevigdem, they took off one set of clothes, and then v'lovshu begodim acherim, and then they wore again a second set of white clothes. My love, acherim chashuvin mehem. Can we not assume that the reason that the pasuk says acherim is to tell us that the second time they put on the white clothes, they were more choshuv, more valued than the first set, and that's contrary to what we're seeing in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, no. Loi acherim, when it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel that the second set of white clothes were acherim, were different, not to impress on us that they were worth more, rather to impress on us that they were different, they were worth less. Pchusin mehem, less than the first set of clothes, and then it conforms with what we saw in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Toni Rav Huna bar Yehuda, ve'omri lo Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, achar shekol sa'avoidas tzibur, after he finished wearing the Big Day Lovon, which he would do the first set of avoida with, as we saw from that pasuk dalad till the pasuk chof beis in Parshas Emor, in Parshas Achrimos Perek Tezayin, that which was the whole long sequence of about a dozen different avoidas he did with the Big Day Lovon. That was all called avoidas tzibur because the tzibur needed that to get their atonement. Then now that he's finished the first time going in with the Big Day Lovon, and now all that he's got to do is to go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to remove the kaf and the machta, which the tzibur didn't need it, even though it was an avoidas tzibur, but it wasn't a need of the tzibur, and therefore he could go in with clothes that were with different clothes. Kohen she'asta le'ima k'soines, if a kohen whose mother, Kohen Gadol, whose mother made him this k'soines, this tunic, from her own money, she made him a nice ksoines. Loivsha voivid bo avoidas yachid. He's allowed to wear it, and he can do with it the avoidas yachid, which means the avoida which is incumbent upon him as a kohen gadol to do it on behalf of the tzibur. He has to remove the kaf and the machto. It's not covered for the empty kaf, the empty machto, for the kaf and the machto. It's not covered for it to stay there. So he had to go in on behalf of the tzibur, but it wasn't a tzair ha-tzibur. It's called avoidas yachid, and he could wear them, even though it was made initially from private money. His mother made them. Ubilvad, however, since the big day kuna have to belong to the tzibur, shem sereno le tzibur, before he wears them, it has to be clear that these clothes were handed over, so to speak, when dedicated to the tzibur, and then this kohen gadol could wear them. Asks the Gemara, pshita, if these clothes were given to the tzibur, then what's the chiddush? Why shouldn't he be able to wear them? Says the Gemara, no. I may have thought we have to be afraid, maybe the clothes will not be given over to the tzibur with a full heart, and then if they don't belong to the tzibur, then you cannot use them for big day kohuna. Kumash malon, we're not concerned about that, and we trust that it's given over with a good heart, and therefore the avodas yachid can be done with these clothes. Continues the Gemara, Omro lov al Rabbi Shmuel ben Pobi, that his mother made him a ksoines, he was a kohen gadol, and his mother made him a tunic shel me'a mona, worth 100 mona, v'loivsha, and he would wear it v'ovid ba'avoidas yachid, and he would do the avoidas yachid, which means he would only wear it in order to remove, to go into the kodesh hakadoshim to remove the kaf and the machta, or maso letzibur, and not before she totally gave it over to the tzibur, and then he would use it. Continues the Gemara, Omro olov al Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom was a multi-millionaire. We're going to learn about him soon. Sha'ostu lo'imoy ksoines. His mother made him his tunic mishtei riboy with 20,000 mona. V'lohinichu ochi v'kayanim l'loivsha. But the other kayanim said it's inappropriate to wear it. B'pnei shanira ka'orum. It was transparent. They could see through it. It looked somewhat, it wasn't obviously 100% transparent, but it looked like he was Orum, he was clothless. Asks the Gemara, Mimis Chazi, was it possible to see through the weaving of the big day kohuna? V'omar Mara, did we not learn, we're going to learn about this more, Daf Ayin Aleph, that chuton kofel shesha, that every thread that was used to weave these clothes was made of 6 threads, which means that it was very well woven. So what do you mean they could see through it? Says no, it's not that they could see through it. It was just such fine, it was so expensive, it was such fine material, the material itself was semi-transparent. It's like wine in a glass cup, even though the glass cup might be very thick, nonetheless you can see from the outside, you can see the wine to the inside. Even though the glass was very thick, it's somewhat transparent, and so to here, even though it was properly thickly woven, but the material itself was somewhat transparent. Continues the Gemara. And the reason the Gemara is moving into this next sugya is because we mentioned Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom and how rich he was. The Gemara is going to teach us something more about that. Tanu Rabbanon, Oni v'Oshir v'Rosha. There are three people who typically would not engage in learning Torah. And they're boin ledin, and they're coming to judgment. After 120, a person goes up to heaven, and there's a judgment. And they're going to be asked, why didn't you learn Torah? A poor man, a rich man, and a wicked man. A rasha. La'oni oimrim loy. They ask the oni who came to Shemaim, mipni ma lo yosakto ba'Torah? Why didn't you learn Torah? Im oimer, if the oni is going to say, Onyo, you see, I was very poor of a Torah b'mazonosai, and I was otherwise preoccupied with my parnosa, with sustenance and being able to feed my family. Oimrim loy, they say to him, Klum onyo yisa yisa mihilil? Were you a bigger Onyo? Were you more poor? Were you poorer than Hillel? And let's see a little bit how Hillel, in spite of all the lack of money he had, how committed he was to Torah. Poverty is never an excuse not to learn Torah. Omro lov al Hillel HaZokin, it was said about Hillel HaZokin, shebechol yom v'yom every day hayo oise, he would go out to work, umistakir betropik, and he would earn a coin called a tropik. There was a guard at the entrance of the Beis HaMedrash, and you had to pay to come in. He would give half of his wages to the guard to allow him in. The other half he would use to be used as sustenance for himself and his family. One time, he didn't find any work, and he didn't earn any money. And the guard at the door of the Beis HaMedrash didn't let him in. Olo, he climbed up, v'nitle, he suspended himself, v'yoshev al pi aruba, he sat at the edge of the skylight. Why? Kedei sheyishma divrei elikim chayim. He wanted to hear the words of Hashem, divrei elikim chayim, divrei teira, mipi shemayim v'avtalion, from his rebbes, shemayim v'avtalion. Omru, and they said, those that said over this story, they said that oisei hayoyim, that day, erev Shabbos hoyo, it was Friday. Utkufas teves hoyo, it was in the middle of the winter. V'yorad olof sheleg min hashemayim, and sheleg min hashemayim came down on him. And we'll soon see how much snow. But that's how much he was moisa nefesh in order to sit and learn Torah and hear Torah from Shemayim v'Avtalion. He was so poor, he didn't even have half a coin to give the guard at the door. It didn't stop him from learning Torah. When the next morning, it was Shabbos morning, this story happened on Friday night. Shabbos morning, Omar lo Shemaya l'Avtalion, Shemaya commented to Avtalion, Avtalion ochi, my brother Avtalion, b'chol yoyim, every day habayis meir, it's bright in the room. V'ayoyim ofil, today it's dark. Shemo yoyim ha'mu'unanu, maybe it's a cloudy day. Hitzitzu in him, they looked up, v'rod mus odom baruba. And they saw a form of a person sitting in the skylight there. Olu, they went up. Umotzu olav, they found that piled up on Hillel, rum sholish amis, three amis of sheleg, had piled up on top of him. Porkuhu, they unwedged him from under the snow. Verchitzu, and they warmed him up with warm water. Vesichu, they anointed him. Vohishivu keneged amadura, and they sat him opposite the fire. Omer, and they said, Ro'izel, Chalil Olav es HaShabbos. He is fitting that one would have to, if it was necessary, one would be allowed to break Shabbos, to override Shabbos, in order to save his life. And there's a discussion here. What does it mean, Ro'izel? What was unique about Hillel? You can break Shabbos to save any Yid's life. So that's a discussion. So that's about Hillel. Hillel was a poor man, and he proved. Hillel was Mechayev, we'll soon see, that it was Hillel that made it clear to everybody, poverty is not an excuse not to learn Torah. Oshir, what happens if a millionaire comes into the Beis Din Shel Ma'alo? Oim Rimloi, they say to him, Mipnei Ma'alo Yasakto BaTorah, why were you not engaged in Torah learning? Im Oimer Oshir, if the rich man is going to say, Hoyisi Torud, I was very occupied, Hoyisi Benechsai, I was with my possessions, with my property. Oim Rimloi, they say to him, Klum Oshir, Hoyisa, Yoisim Rebelozo, were you more wealthy than Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim? Omro lo va Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim, they said about him that Sheiniach le'oviv, his father left him elef ayorois bi'abosho, 1,000 cities on dry land, and corresponding to them were connected elef sfineis bayom, 1,000 ships at sea. U'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, and nonetheless, all he would do is every day, noitil noitil kemach, he would take a flask, a utensil of flour, al kseifo in his shoulders, u'mehalech, he would go me'ir le'ir, from one city to the next, to Medina le'Medina, from one province to the next, lilmay teira, he would go and learn teira. And to the extent that pamachas, at one point, and these properties that he was roaming around in, they were his properties. You know, he had 1,000 cities on dry land. So he was going round from city to city, and mutza'uhu avodov, and his own slaves, his own workers found him, and they said, just a minute, you live here in this city, in this town, you know that you have to, the owner of this town is Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim, and everybody here is committed to work for him and to serve him. So these people who found him, they said, V'osuboy anagario, and they said, you have to, we're forcing you now to start working for the owner of the city, which is Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim. And he did not want to reveal himself and say, listen, it's all mine. You want me to work for myself? No. Omar Lohen. So he just said to these servants, Bevakosha mechem, I'm begging you, hinichuni, leave me, ve'eilech l'ma Torah, I want to go and learn Torah. Omar Lohen, they said to him, Chaye Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim. They made a vow in the name of Rebbe, by the life of Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim. She'en manichin oischa. We're not letting you off. You have to work for Rebbe Elozar ben Charsoim. And they didn't even recognize him. Umiyomav leholach v'roisam. They didn't recognize him. It must be that in all his life he never ever went round to see his workers and check up on his workers. He was busy learning Torah. Even though he had so much riches and he had every excuse to be busy with his riches, he had 1,000 cities and 1,000 ships. Nonetheless, all that didn't move him. He sat and he learned Torah to the extent that his own workers didn't recognize him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have told him he has to work for Rabbi Elazar ben Charusim. He was Rabbi Elazar ben Charusim. He was sitting and learning Torah kol hayom kol halayla, all day and all night. So that's Rabbi Elazar ben Charusim, a very rich person, and he's going to prove that no rich man will have an excuse not to learn Torah. Rosha, what about if a wicked man, an evil person, comes in, oimrim lo, and they say to him in Beis Din Shel Ma'ilo, mipnei ma lo yasakto b'Torah, why are we not learning Torah? Im Omar, if he says, no, you see, I was a very handsome person, v'torod b'yitzshi, and I was busy all the time with my yetzahara. I had a big yetzahara. Oimrim lo, then the Beis Din Shel Ma'ilo, they say to him, klum neo no yisam Yosef, were you more handsome than Yosef HaTzadik? Omro lo val Yosef HaTzadik, it was said about Yosef HaTzadik, b'chol yoim v'yoim, every day, Hoiso Eishas Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, would come, m'shadlosei b'dvorim, and try and seduce him to do some serious averis with her. Begodim shelov sholoi shachris, those clothes she put on specially to seduce him in the morning, loy lov sholoi arvis, in the evening she wore different clothes, all this to try and get him engaged in inappropriate and immoral behavior. Begodim shelov sholoi arvis, loy lov sholoi shachris. Omra loy, and she would say to him, Hishamali, surrender to me and to what I'm wanting, what I'm asking you to do. Omra loy said to her, Lav, no way. Omra loy, she said to him, Hareini chayv shachscha, beveis asurim, I'll confine you to the jail, to prison. Omra loy, he didn't get carried away. He said, Hashem matir asurim, Hashem is the one that releases prisoners. She said to him, Hareini chayfefes kaymoscha, I'm going to bend your stature. He wasn't worried about that either. He said, Hashem zoykif kfufim, Hashem straightens out those who are bent. Hareini mesame esenecha, I'll blind your eyes. He has no problem. Hashem pekei achivrim, Hashem gives sight even to the blind. Nosna loy elef kikrei kesef. She offered him 1,000 gold silver coins, silver kikors. Lishmoya leo, in order that he should listen to her, to do what? And this is the Loshna of the Pasuk, Lishka Vetzlo, to lie with her, Lies Imo, to be with her. V'leirotzo Lishmo Eleo. He didn't want to listen to her, as the Pasuk says explicitly, that he didn't listen to her, Lishka Vetzlo, Bo'olam Hazeh, to lie with her in this world, which would have caused Lies Imo Lo'olam Habo, that he would then be with her in Olam Habo also. And Yosef withstood that tremendous Nisayan. So this Rosha is coming in and said, I couldn't learn Torah because I was so busy with my Yetzirah, I couldn't control myself. What do you mean you couldn't control yourself? You had a bigger Yetzirah than Yosef HaTzadik. He could control himself. Nimtzah, the conclusion of this whole long Gemara we've just had, is that Hillel Machayev Es Aniyim, if you're a poor man, be careful. Hillel will make sure you'll be held responsible. Rabbi Elazar ben Charusim Machayev Es Ashirim, if you're a rich man, remember Rabbi Elazar ben Charusim, he'll be the one standing there refuting any claim that riches stopped you learning Torah. Yosef Mechayev Es HaRashoim, and the same with Yosef HaTzadik, will be Mechayev the Rashoim. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.